The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Ranks Radio. Text and WhatsApp 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Call 66 13 68. Big day tomorrow. Schools break up for half term. Saturday's Valentine's Day. Next Tuesday, Shrove Tide. Shrove Tuesday, Pancake Day. And the clocks go forward 6 weeks on Sunday. It's that time of the year when you can almost sense the light nights. Alex Ellenson, MHK, the doctor, believes that this new 4-foot-high wall would have a drastic impact on Royal Ramsay and would significantly reduce the 4-foot-high wall, they say, will significantly reduce tidal flood risk and protect 542 properties. Dr. Ellenson thinks it's a bit big and it could have a drastic impact on the town. You got any thoughts on this? Well, I know somebody who has. Hi, Wolf.
I haven't been on Andy for a long time because there hasn't been anything really interesting for me to get stuck into. I've told them all in the past what to do with various things. They haven't done it, so there's no point in telling them again. But apparently, I didn't know, you see, because I haven't got a fancy phone or a Facebook thing or a computer or anything like that. But I was told that yesterday, it was on people's Facebook, whatever the hell they call it, that the commissioners, our commissioners in Ramsey, pretty useless because they're not doing anything about these plans for the harbour
right. And
all the rest of it. But I can assure you, we are. I've been against it for years and years, and the commissioners now are all backing me. So we're on it.
Okay, so how high do you think a wall should be?
2 foot.
Just 2 foot?
Yeah, because I have photographs, of course, and I've been around here for 80-odd years, you see. So I've seen it most days. I've always had boats and all the rest of it. And the tide has never come over, never touched the bottom of the dip in the change. Now, the dip in the change is about, 15 to 18 inches off the deck. And it's never been that high. It's much lower than that. It just runs through under the whalen, under the wooden whalen. And the thing is, a 2 foot wall, we can, that'll do the whole job without any problem whatsoever, and you can sit on it all the way down the quay. You can put wooden slats on it or whatever, and that's a seat for all the way down the quay. If they do the plans they're talking about, it will destroy Ramsay as a tourist place. People come from all over, just to sit on them seats on the edge of the harbour and just look at the harbour and the boats and all the rest of it. Very, very rare they're going to get their feet wet. But I think it was, they're talking about 4 feet now. They're talking, and then there's various things, shoulder heights and all this. Well, that won't do anybody in a wheelchair or anything like that. They can't see the harbour ever again. But the other thing was, they said, somebody come on the man in line yesterday, I believe. But I didn't hear the man in line because I was busy in the hospital getting blood pumped into me. So I couldn't hear any of that. So I missed that one. I was only told about it after. Where's Wilf? What's going on? See? Because in the past I've been dead against this and all this, and I'm still dead against it. I'm actually the main one that is. I'm the thorn in their side, put it that way. And I can assure them, or whoever it was, that I'm still on it, and the rest of the commissioners are still on it.
Great. All right. That's good to hear. And everybody, yes, I mean, lots of people have inquired after your health, Wilf. So we do hope all's well with you.
Right. Well, I'm lying in bed now with a phone in my hand. That's what my health's like.
Okay.
But I do. It's nice. It's nice and peaceful here, and it's raining outside. Okay. So that's it.
All right. Well, give the rest of the commissions all our very best, and we'll watch the progress.
I mean, people, whoever it was on Facebook, and also, they're kind of useless. But I can assure you, they're not useless. And I haven't been to their meetings for, I don't know how many meetings I've missed now, but I've got a special thing, like, you know, for the mail and all the rest of it. But I'll not be long before I'm back again.
Good.
Okay. I'll be back at the next meeting, I think.
All right.
And it'll be discussed again then. The harbour will be discussed the next meeting, I think. So We're on the ball. Put it that way. We're on the job.
Appreciate it, Wilf. Take care. Look after yourself. Thanks for being with us.
Okay. All right.
Cheers. Now, 12 minutes past 12. So you heard, there's a man who's been on the commissioners for 20 plus years now. And last time, I think the commissioners voted against the proposals and the DOI went away. Dr. Ellington's concerned that the DOI hasn't got the balance right with plans to install flood defences for Ramsey. The proposed scheme includes a new flood wall around West Quay, highway drainage upgrades, replacement of essential services under the roadway, and the reconstruction of footways and carriageways. And you wonder, A, how long is that going to take? And B, how much is it going to cost? DOI hope the wall, which is 4 feet high, would significantly reduce tidal flood risk and protect 542 properties. Here's Dr. Allenson.
Well, Ramsey has been for many years identified as one of the key risk places on the Isle of Man. Tidal flooding is part of it. We also get flooding coming down from the Litany and from the Solby River as well. And if you can remember a couple of years ago when somebody was canoeing down Parliament Street, that was a combination of all three. But with what's now called coastal overtopping and high tides and strong winds, the quayside in Ramsey is prone to flooding. And then that can affect quite a few of the businesses there because they have basements. So it is a big issue. A knock-on effect of that is obviously getting things like insurance for those businesses and for the town in general. So it's something that I think we've always been keen on getting. But obviously there have been proposals for a seawall to keep out the tide. And these date back for the last 6 years. We had original proposals in 2020 and those were rejected because a lot of those were also removing some of the parking around the quayside, which is quite important for the businesses there and also for the people of Ramsey and our visitors.
That wall would be around 4 feet high.
Yep.
So it's quite a substantial wall. Obviously, Douglas has had a similar seawall now, which has had a mixed response, I think it's fair to say. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, the main aspect is I think people in Ramsey need to be aware of the plans. When you look at the artist's impressions of the wall, it would significantly change Ramsey. If you're driving down the quayside, you wouldn't be able to see the harbour. If you're walking there and you happen to be a little bit short, you're a child, you're in a wheelchair, you would not see the harbour. And it would affect quite a few of the businesses there because of the loss of 50 parking spaces. From a very personal basis, I love sitting outside the Traff with a pint. Those benches would go. It would stop a lot of the things that we take for granted there now. I'm not sure whether this scheme has got the balance right, and I do find that the height of the wall is going to be very, very intrusive and will change the character, I think, of a lot of the town.
So there we are. And by the way, hello to Steph and everybody at the Traff as well. It is going to change the aesthetics of it. I think they probably call it this, what it looks like and how many car parking spaces are going to go. And obviously free car parking in Ramsey is a big draw for Parliament Street. I mean, this would change Ramsey fundamentally. A 4 foot wall, as Dr. Allenson said, when you drive down the quay now, you can see Ramsey is a tidal harbour. That's the beauty of it. It's nature. The tide comes in and out twice a day. And it's part of the kind of dynamics, the kinetic energy, if you like, of that. It will go completely. Not to say you can't make seed events as beautiful. Thank you, Colin, who dropped me a note in and has sent me the sea and flood defences at Lymington Harbour in Hampshire, and just says, compare this with the brutal proposal for Ramsey. That's lovely. Very, very nice. We don't quite know what the detail is for Ramsey, but remember, there is a, you know, a single carriageway road that goes around it, and there's a pavement as well, and there are businesses. So we'll see if you're around Ramsey much, if you live in Ramsey, if you drive around Ramsey. I just wonder what your thoughts are. A message in from Ray, who just said, well, what about the other side where the old talk of the town was? Is there going to be a wall around that, or won't the tide go up that high? Julian joins us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Well, very well. I can't wait to see the sun tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, no. It's been a bit grey, isn't it? Yeah, the Ramsey Wall, I'm kind of curious as to, I was up Ramsey the other day, I don't see any evidence of the tidal gauges showing anything out of the ordinary. I've not heard anything from the harbour master saying that there's main issues with rising sea level. Is it more to do with the fact that quite often you'll get quite a bit of rain which will come out at the wrong moment, when so you've got a lot of river water coming out at the same time as you've got a high tide?
Well, I think part of this is because there was a flood a few years ago there, and as Dr. Allison mentioned, you know, that the photo of that guy canoeing down Parliament Street, that will cost insurance companies millions and millions of pounds. And obviously, there's not much development. There is some development, but not a lot on the quay there. So, and that's because, you know, some of the cellars, some of the basements may flood. So we need more detail on this, I think. We need to know exactly what the pitch is for Ramsey. Obviously, the politicians want to do this. The bureaucrats will want to get all this done because, you know, they're risk averse. They don't want it to happen again. And somebody say, well, you should have done something. So they're going to do something. It's imperative now that the right thing is done, Julian.
The other component to this, though, is, I mean, when you drive past the garage along the Ramsey Quay, it's quite wide. Even if you were to put a 2-foot seawall, which, you know, whether we need it or not, you know, I don't know, I'm not convinced of this, but let's say we go with Wilf's part of this, why do you need to lose the parking? Because the wall's not going to be that thick, and it's quite a wide run through there. Or, you know, in certain areas where it narrows, why not have the cars perpendicular instead of at a diagonal?
Yeah,
at least you've still got some parking.
And there are two bits to that pavement as well on the quay side, because there's the chain. You can walk on one side of the chain, and as you say, the car parking is on the other side of the chain. So, you know, it just depends where they're going to put the wall, whether the wall's going to be directly into the seawall or whether it'll be recessed on the pavement.
And you could raise the pavement so that people, you know, the wall's doing its thing, but people can still see, including people like kids and wheelchair people, you know, disabled people. But,
and that's the thing, Julian. We take aesthetics for granted on the Isle of Man. We live on a beautiful island, and our views are mostly unfettered. And having it changed, is it changes our lives. It's a fundamental change to how things have always been.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not for nothing that some people said that the Berlin Wall was sort of reminiscent of what they've done by the war memorial. But hey ho, we'll see how it goes. But I think Wolf's probably right. If we're going to have a happy medium, let's make a 2-foot wall. I don't think it's rising that fast. I think I seem to remember it's going to be about 10,000 years before it's really going to make a big difference, if it happens. We spoke in a little while ago about the assisted dying bill.
Yeah.
And how Manx Care won't be carrying it out, if the, assuming that the bill succeeds with royal assent. I'm just wondering if there's another new bill that's been consulted on, might be a part of all this. This new bill, the consultation is known as the Consultation on the Public Health Functions and General Public Health Duty Bill 2026, bit of a mouthful. The bill proposes to replace the Director of Public Health with a new post called a Chief Public Health Officer. which would give the officer far broader control, including giving medical advice to the Council of Ministers. Now, if you take that, say in the UK, that would normally be the chief medical officer. But it's interesting to note that if you look at question one on this consultation, it states, and I quote, "Notably, the appointment powers no longer require for the chief public health officer to be a registered medical practitioner." So you've got no medical training or qualification required for who will essentially also be the chief medical officer advising Tynwald. In the actual bill, clause 12 makes it clear that the cabinet office can basically tell public health what to do. But if you look through the clauses, because the on the website it obviously shows the entire bill, there's no mention of human rights or proportionality in medical interventions or independent scientific thinking, or even if a public health officer requires a warrant to enter a house or a flat. There's also no mention of how harm signals from medical interventions raised by qualified clinicians would be dealt with. There's no mention of independent review panels. There's no mention of mandatory safety reporting, even annually. There's no mention of mechanisms for policy reversals if there is a problem. And there's no statutory protections that I can see for clinicians raising concerns about all this. And if the Cabinet Office is aligned with UK decision-making, won't the island lose its medical independent decision-making altogether? We'll kind of be a medical vassal state if the Cabinet Office, if they take advice from the UK, are we just going to be taking exactly what the UK does with no independence? So the upshot of this bill, it seems, is to reinforce central authority control, but at the same time, they're removing medical experience when making all or even enforcing these policies.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? We don't quite know. I mean, first of all, it's been almost a year since it cleared the parliamentary stages here. And obviously, it's still getting assessed over there. As you say, Manx Care have said previously, you know, I don't know what their current position is today, but previously they said, we're not going to do it. So somebody somewhere, if it's going to happen, somebody somewhere has got to do it. They've got to have a place to do it. And as you say, the requisite safeguards have to be in place.
Yeah, I mean, this new public health functions and general public health duty bill, it's effectively going to politicise the control of Manx Care and DHSC. So you're going to have the Cabinet Office basically ruling the roost on this. So whatever, you know, board meetings that were taken before by Manx Care, it seems that all that will be overridden and Cabinet Office, whatever they say, they'll have to do. So it makes you wonder if Manx Care will have that autonomy anymore to say they won't do assisted dying, for example, or anything else.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, Julian.
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
Worth looking at the consultation.
Yep. All right. Thanks
Andy.
Good to hear from you. It's 23 minutes past 12. Jerby commissioners say they're going to be consulting residents about whether to continue supporting the Manx Family Centre's mobile library. Jerby received correspondence from the charity asking if it could visit the parish on specific days in the week. If you're a resident around Jerby and you want it, get in touch with the commissioners. They'd love to hear from you. It's Robert with us now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, we seem to have our head in the clouds today, Andy, going up north quite a lot. Are you okay?
Well, the clouds are everywhere, really, because there's no sunshine.
Summer's only around the corner, though, isn't it?
In theory, yes.
Or spring, should I say. Spring's only around the corner. Anyway, what I was going to phone about, I mean, there seems to be a lot of talk about alexallinson.com and, you know, what he's doing at the moment. I think that my own experience of what he said, he's got a lot of good ideas, but I think he'd put us further into debt. And I think a lot of his thoughts and feelings towards Manx Care and things like that would, you know, we'd go further into debt with alexallinson.com. So, I mean, that's the way I feel about that. The other thing I was going to say was, at the moment, I'm going on a slight left-hander here, but I'm trying to build up my web skills, and it doesn't seem to be a really good way of web development and attaining real key skills in terms of web development. And they're just, I mean, you do it all online these days, but the courses are not well put together. It's hard to find the stuff. And I was just wondering if there's anything local that can maybe do anything like that, or okay. Do you have to go private with it, or what?
Okay, well, let me. Well, everybody's heard that now. If there is a course, perhaps a course at the college or something, where you can get skills to develop websites and what have you, then that'd be the place. I wonder if they know, because you know that place that used to be at in the sea terminal, the kind of get online place that they used to be. That's not there anymore. I think it's open a couple of days a week. But why are you going to start your own website? Are you?
I've already got a couple. I've got trackrecord.im, which is just a linker, and I've got a few other things that I'm in the pipeline of. But I've got loads of domains, which are the things, the website names themselves, but I just haven't got like manx.community and things like that. I just haven't got the gravitas to get down and do the coding for it.
All right.
So I'm just lost in the minutiae of learning how to do it, and the videos that they have online are like 20 hours long.
Have you tried ChatGPT?
Yeah, I have. Uninstalled it, and I reinstalled it, and it wouldn't let me get back onto my thing, even though I'd had it for 2 months and I paid for a year. It wouldn't let me, you know, get back onto my subscription.
Well, if you paid for it, you should be on there, Robert.
Yeah, but they're sneaky like that. They're not real people, are they? And there's no one to call for that type of thing. That's the thing. I mean, what's the ChatGPT hotline? You know, where's the customer service? You don't know who it is, do you? So, I mean, yeah, okay. Be careful who you talk to online.
All right, good to hear from you. Okay, thanks, Robert. All right, just a thought. During racing week, says KG, cat's eyes aren't allowed on the mountain road. What if they were used during the non-race weeks and key locked into place, then taken out, replaced by flat boxers that are also key locked, leaving the road flat for practice and race weeks? With mist and heavy fog on the mountain road, it would help people see more clearly and stay on their correct side of the road. Gets hairy, doesn't it? At the moment, driving there is very bad. The fog is hazardous. It would take some time to replace them for the races, but it would make the mountain road much safer for the other 48 weeks of the year. Says, 44 weeks of the year, is it? So it's KG. So key locked cat's eyes on the mountain road that can be taken out and put back in. What do you think about that? The wall will look much, much bigger than 4 feet, says Tony. Douglas Prom gets away with it because of the wide width. Ramsey doesn't have that. Unfortunately, that's Tony's words, by the way. Tony C said, unfortunately, if they build a flood protection wall in Ramsey, they'll have to stick to modern health and safety rules. A low wall would be considered a trip hazard if it's under 1,100 millimetres, 1.1 metres, which is... Is that under 4 feet? Anyway, Tony C also said, I know the current wooden rail is much lower, but the rules were different when that was built. Dodsey, the harbour walls don't do much, to be honest. Just look at the storms we recently had. The height of the sand needs to be drawn back or dug back, and barges used to drag it out to sea. The infrastructure, Marie said, the infrastructure minister says we need this new wall on Ramsey Quayside. What does the new infrastructure know about Ramsey and the setup of the businesses and of the fishing industry? How are the boys going to land catches? It's a working harbour. Has anybody actually asked them? And going back to this, the big wall that's on Douglas Prom, and the fact that yesterday, I think it was it Howard who was saying that they're going out to tender to put the wall through to the sea terminal, which will wreck the aesthetics of that. So you'd simply, if you're under a certain height, won't be able to see anything. People in wheelchairs, children in prams won't be able to see anything. 100 years and more of the aesthetics of the promenade will just be gone. Now, it may be that this is needed. However, the point was made when they started putting this new wall up from the war memorial upwards to the Empress. What happens if the sand just builds up on the other side and gets to the top of that wall? surely the nettle has to be grasped, and at some point let the seawalls do their job and excavate the sand down. Do you remember there used to be how many steps used to go down to the beach on Central Prom and Queen's Prom? Steps used to go down to the beach, lots of them. The beach is down there. It may be that it will cost tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds to do it. Do you think it's an experiment worth looking at? Or are we stuck with just putting walls that go bigger and bigger and bigger? Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I just heard you make that, you know, somebody making the remark about the cat's eyes.
Yeah.
It's for obvious reasons that they're not on the mountain road or on the TT course, full stop. But somebody else might remember this. At one time, and it's not very long ago, the lines on the mountain, the markings, the official markings, were yellow. They were yellow paint as opposed to what we have now, white. And the highway board, as it was then, said they were much clearer, much easier to see in foggy weather. Now, whether that is true or it was a smoke and mirrors job from the highway board, which they weren't in the system then, they used to tell you the virtual truth. But is that still possible to put the yellow lines, you know, the marking lines either side of the road as they have as a guide, and then the proper markings in the middle of the road were, as I say, yellow?
How long ago was that, Howard?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember exactly, but I've driven on them, and they were yellow roads. I'd say going back to the 70s anyway, 70s and 80s. And it was only on the mountain. The rest of the roads on the island were the normal white. But this was specifically on the mountain because of the clarity of the markings.
Right. And in your opinion, were they better?
Well, I wasn't in a position then to, you know, I was a young fella. And we used to just drive around as normal. But I should well imagine they were. But you haven't got the number of cars, or you didn't have the number of cars then. But I was, as I say, driving coaches over there, and they were very, very handy the way the markings were. And as I say, we had a fleet, well, 53 coaches with tours at the time, so it was quite busy. And we didn't have the fast cars like we got today. If you go over the mountain today, You can guarantee there's at least three want to overtake you, no matter what speed you're doing.
53 coaches, Howard.
There was 53 coaches in Tours fleet, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was when... and they were full every day. Every day. In fact, some days we didn't have enough. But, I don't know... I sent you that photograph yesterday of the plaque.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. And as I say, it's a pure coincidence. I hadn't noticed, but the dates that are on that plaque coincide with the planting of the trees in Portishead Meadow. That was the Jubilee year of King George the Sixth. He died in 1836.
I'd forgotten, Howard, how huge that boating pool was at Port St Mary.
It was. It was a large... It was actually, from what I'm led to believe, measured specifically for free sailing yachts. And I'm talking about big ones, anything up to about 6 foot long.
Yeah.
It wasn't for toy yachts. They were for racing yachts.
Yeah.
And they did have precise measurements for a pool.
I mean, was it about 300 feet long? It was big, wasn't it?
It was big. And as I say, it was built purposely for... the model, well, the Port St Mary Model Yacht Club. But again, as I say, it was a precise measurement, length and width, because they didn't have radio control boats in those days when they built it. they used to have people with a stick on one side, and they would quite literally turn the yacht round to go back to the other side, or up and down. Mm. You'd be running up and down the pool.
Okay. All right.
unfortunately, that was all taken out and never be replaced.
Right. Okay. Good to hear from you, Howard. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay. Take care. Bye now.
All right. It's 25 to 1. A 2-foot-high wall with wooden slats on the top to sit on would be perfect, says Bruce. In the future, if required, I'd just add another foot or even two. Leave holes in the top of the wall so iron reinforcement bars can be slotted in to add more height as needed. We call it future-proofing, not wasting money. So build a 2-foot wall with the facility to make it bigger. Flood defences in Castletown have ruined the look of the harbour. The floodgates are now being used to prevent people accessing parts of the harbour. Some of the gates remain closed all year round, and some for half the year, says 948. They're being used way beyond their original planning application. And 313 says the wall in Ramsey is a must. Douglas has a wall that's quite stark, and it's made the prom less inviting. The recent high tides have proved that sand needs to be dug out and transported to the old quarries. Phil Scarlett first, says 313.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Experience Manx Telecom's future-ready Wi-Fi. With a range of new smart Wi-Fi devices to give the best Wi-Fi coverage for any property type. Featuring self-healing technology to reduce interference. And supported by a mobile app, including parental controls for you to take total control of your Wi-Fi network. Our best ever Wi-Fi, available now for new and existing customers. See mt.im/fibre for details, terms and conditions.
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 30 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community. And they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine! Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man. Crow.im.
At Bon Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bonfabrics.im.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
As the weekend fades and the night draws in, slow it down with the Chill Out Show.
The city feels clean this time of night.
The Sunday Chill Out. Chris Pearson, Manx Radio.
The Manx Radio Chill Out Show, Sunday evenings from 7.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's true, he does that show lying down. 22 minutes before 1. Too much money wasted on ridiculous projects, says H. Fund the essential services first, then spend on essential improvements. 948 says, Nobles Hospital's got some money being wasted. What about that Draga oxygen generation plant that we paid millions for in the pandemic? It's never worked correctly, and now they're getting rid of it. Didn't know that, 948. Is that true, that that oxygen generation plant never worked, and now it's being sold? I think we'll make money on it. The government loosened the rules on who can enter the Isle of Man, says Mark. That's what happened. You can pretend the Isle of Man was always rough, but you can't fool our eyes, says Mark. Maybe the Ministry of Justice, this is 562, maybe the Ministry of Justice across can see the problems with our assisted dying bill. The reality is ours has far fewer safeguards than the current one in the UK, which is being thoroughly scrutinised. The problem with the Isle of Man law is the mover never held public meetings, never informed the public about the pitfalls assisted dying laws once adopted can bring, such as the expansion to people who don't have life-threatening issues, coercion, only two doctors needed to sign off who don't need to know the patient. A doctor doesn't even have to remain with the person after taking the substance. We don't have the proper capacity laws in place. That's all 562 and 562's opinion about all this. This coming Sunday morning, hopefully the weather's going to be okay. And if you're around the north, Beach Buddies are at Balageni, the Ayres Nature Reserve. That's a smooth road going to, before you get to the concrete, it's really smooth. So they're meeting at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Beach Buddies will be meeting there at 10:30, cleaning up the Ayres Nature Reserve. If you want to join them, just bring your own sweet self and clean it up. They'll give you the gloves and the litter pickers. They take all the stuff away. They cart it all away afterwards. That's Beach Buddies. If you want more information, I think it's beachbuddies.org.im. Chris Robertshaw, ex-MHK, has formed a pressure group calling on the Isle of Man government to focus on good governance. The group's called Future Isle of Man, and it's aimed at looking at how the Isle of Man is governed ahead of the elections this year. Now, there are three pillars which the members of Future Isle of Man focus on, which are improved democracy, smaller, smarter government, and higher quality strategic thinking. Here's Chris Robertshaw.
The words you keep hearing these days is, well, why haven't the public been asked about issues? People quite rightly now feel disconnected. Well, the truth is, to some degree, the members of House of Keys themselves are now disconnected. What's happened since the ministerial system came in? And in many respects, it has many good points, but it also has profound weaknesses which must be addressed and must be dealt with so we get to a situation where there's good government. The departments are actually getting bigger, and there's this constant undercurrent throughout the population saying, well, you know, our government's just getting too big, we're uncomfortable with this, and they're right to say so. But unfortunately, the frontline services are also being drained to some degree to support these growing bureaucracies.
What functions do you think are redundant?
One of the things I've become aware of is the degree to which future AI implementation will profoundly change the way our government works. As I become more aware of how AI has this extraordinary powerful capacity to integrate high-quality thinking, that will progressively replace the bureaucratic process. That will allow a lot more money to filter through back to frontline services, and government will again become what it's supposed to be, which is providing services to the people. For a number of years now, I've been saying, you know, does the government serve the people or do the people serve government? And unfortunately, currently we're at the latter and we have to go back to the former. Look wherever you like. Recently, our Minister of Department for Enterprise didn't even know what was going on in the hotel sector. The farming sector's in disarray. We've got serious problems with our health service. So we're getting a bigger and bigger government, which is becoming less and less competent.
Former MHK, of course, he was Minister for Policy and Reform, former middle MHK, Chris Robertshaw. Future Isle of Man is this new group focusing on good governance. Oh, thank you. 942 sent me a lovely colour photo of the model boating lake in Port St Mary in 1982, which also prompts me. I got a message in a couple of, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, and it was regarding if you stand by the model boating lake, what used to be the model boating lake in Port St Mary, and wander around, what's happening to the old Clifton Hotel? It's called Strathallan. It's where Ronnie Aldrich used to live years and years ago. It's absolutely derelict. And it's a real prime place in Port St Mary. I just wonder, does anybody know what's happening with that? It's a fine house. Big, big plot of land as well. Goes down. If you know all about it, then please do get in touch. Thanks to Ian, who just said, what's all this about new flood defences? Tell us about it, Andy. If I must, the DOI wants to build a 1.3-metre concrete flood wall from Bowring Road to East Quay, with floodgates, new paving, wave-style artwork and panels on the wall. Now, the Manx government says flooding in Ramsey is happening more often, pointing to the severe storms in January 2014, and says climate change means stronger protection is now essential. Similar work's been done or is underway in Douglas, Peel and Castletown. The project will lose, or will get rid of, 52 on-street parking spaces. 52. The department says doing nothing is not an option. Other ideas like raising the existing harbour wall or adding a tidal gate were ruled out as impractical. The department, infrastructure this is, say they admit it'll change the look of the area, but say the benefits of protecting large parts of Ramsey outweigh the negatives. The application now goes to planners for consideration. So what are your thoughts on this? That's what the word is. That's what's going to happen. And while we're in the north, I must say thanks to Alan B. I mentioned the Beach Hotel recently, and there's a guy who used to be the... It was the compere there in the, I think, late 70s, early 80s, Alan Marriott, who got in touch with me and just said, if anybody remembers the Beach Hotel, could they send any memories to me? And I'll pass them on to Alan. And thanks to Alan B, who sent me a copy of the entry for the Beach Hotel in the 1967 Isle of Man Guide. And fantastic it is too. Everything that was offered at the Beach Hotel for 42 shillings a day, including the tropical pool, the finest indoor heated saltwater pool at any hotel in the British Isles, and everything else there. Do you remember the Beach Hotel? Nowhere in the 37 and three-quarter miles of the course are there any cat's eyes in the middle of the road. There are some of the edges of the worst bends, but nowhere else, says Rich. So do you think then, instead of putting these sort of ones you can take in and take out of the mountain road, they should put cat's eyes on the edge of the mountain road? Luckily, we haven't had anybody go off the edge of the mountain road for quite a while. But is it time to put some on the edge? Would the new wall on Ramsey Quay come with a trip to Premier League hospitality, says 762. Who knows? Parliament Street is lower than the quay. That's why it flooded, says John. The tide was just over the wooden beam that runs the length of the quay. Wilf is right. There's no need for a 4-foot wall. And 508, Texter, what about making the wall in Ramsey into a bench shape with gaps at sea height that could be closed off when flooding occurs? People could walk through or have steps over the wall at 2 feet high. And surely, says 109, the whole point of the Victorian Gardens on Douglas Promenade, on reclaimed land, was to act as a buffer to protect the buildings from the tide. Now we're talking about building a seawall to protect the sea defences. Their defences. And Dave got in touch to say, Andy, there used to be a reflective paint that helped in bad visibility conditions. Doesn't it just need another lick of paint, as we all do in our homes when it's required? And 318... It says there are about 7 or 8 steps on Port Erin Beach going from the promenade down to the sand, and the sand is at the top step. Does anybody know if that's going to get dragged back from Port Erin? A message in from Vicky, who said, I listened to your show all day yesterday because you were talking about Port Erin going bust. Is that right? Well, no... Not Port Erin going specifically bust. It was Jimmy Cubbon. It was the commissioner, board member, who said that they're agreeing to hold a public meeting about the Riet Vrada glamping site. Jimmy Cubbon says he'd like to see a resolution to the situation and is calling on Manx Utilities and the Planning Division of the DEFA, Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, to attend. It was confirmed at the commissioner's meeting that an offer to take over the lease was received, but due to local authority legislation, this can't be taken up until the site's returned in whole and must follow a tender process.
Well, I wasn't on the board when all the decisions were made for it to become a campsite, and since I've been on the board, there's just huge frustrations about how drawn out the process has become. And I've seen a number of decisions or indecisions by government departments, which has made it very difficult for us. So My understanding is that there's people that are living there permanently, which is a breach of planning. Well, where's the planning enforcement department? Because if I put a log burner in my shed without planning, they're straight at me. Yet this is a matter which is seriously affecting the South and Port Erin, and it could have resulted in this campsite legal debacle being wound up a lot sooner. So somebody from that department or DEFA should be accountable to the public. So it's fair to ask those questions, that why is that not happened? This could potentially bankrupt Port Erin with legal fees.
Who are you hoping to have there? I know you mentioned DEFA and planning. Are they some of the people that you're going to invite?
Well, hopefully somebody from planning or planning enforcement, whether it's the chief exec of DEFA that sits above it, but somebody could come down. And also the MUA, because I fully appreciate cost of living. I've actually got no problem with people living off-grid as such. I fully understand it, and I think a lot of people will go that way in the future. But for the MUA to, when we're trying to work to resolve getting the land back into Port Erin ownership, when essentially if people are living there because it's a breach of planning as determined by an FOI that I submitted to planning, where they wouldn't give out information because they stated that they couldn't because there was a potential criminal investigation, which suggests that they think that there's a breach of planning, then for the electricity to be cut off, for my view to help people move on, then for the government to give individuals their own electricity supply to live illegally, well, if I suddenly wanted to move up onto the side of South Barule tomorrow, which would be lovely, I couldn't write to the MUA and ask for my own electricity supply. You look at how your man was treated down the north when he wasn't allowed to live illegally, then there should be consistency, shouldn't there?
Manx Utilities' role, they say, is to provide electricity supplies in line with their statutory obligations and their published terms and conditions. They outlined in a recent Freedom of Information response that the Riat Fradda, the Bellefesen site, has one electricity supply which was transferred to a new customer on the 14th of November following a valid application that met all requirements. Manx Utilities' function, they say, is limited to the safe and compliant provision of electricity to customers who meet those requirements. They said they understand from media reporting that a public meeting's being arranged in relation to the site. Manx Utilities, they say, is perfectly happy to engage where appropriate and within the scope of their responsibilities once it's clear what information or support is being sought.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Direct cremation is just that, an affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478422.
Ready to dance? Hospice Isle of Man bring you the Swagelog Step Up Dance-a-thon, a 24-hour music-driven fundraiser from 6 p.m. on Friday the 20th of February at Bench Nightclub. Join for a 3-hour slot, take on the 12-hour team challenge, or go all in as a 24-hour hero with themed slots for all music tastes. Any movement counts, even chair dancing. Step Up Dance-a-thon for Rebecca House Children's Hospice and the Children's Centre. For details and to register, click hospice.org.im/dance-a-thon.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All-island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Is your shed roof in need of replacing and you don't want to pay a contractor? The solution is DIY roof-in-a-box kits with full instructions and warranty from Rubber Roof Shop. For your roof in a box, call 49667.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services. Whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries, Ellen Vannin Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3 p.m. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
If you're interested in the Jerby Commissioners and whether or not they want to support the Manx Family Centre's mobile library, if you're around there, the website address is jerbyparish.com. jerbyparish.com. It will tell you all about it. Rather than installing temporary cat's eyes, just use reflective neon paint for the Mountain Road Line, says Kingo. And Kenny says, Andy, if the DOI can find money for flood protection wall in Ramsey, how come they've got no money to fix the roads and the potholes? They'd probably say different budget. And Ryan, oh, Ryan, you've gladdened my heart today. At this time of the year, I don't know about you, but I'm always, when I'm out and about, looking for the crocuses and the daffodils and the snowdrops. And I happened to be in Bride at the weekend, and just opposite where, just down from where the Green Parrot was, Bride Tea Rooms, the daffodils were out there. And Ryan sent me a photo of the daffodils in Bride. Absolutely fantastic. More messages in then. The Strathallan in Port St Mary's just been sold. Is that right? I wonder what they're going to do there. Presumably drop the whole thing, but Ronnie Aldrich lived there for years and years, didn't he? I've noticed a lot of our new residents seem to be driving on R plates as if they'd just passed a driving test. It struck me as strange. I believe there's a waiting time for a test, and it's quite long, and I think they've only been here a short period. Has anybody else noticed this? Nobody's been bypassing the queue. Text of 418, that was. 008 says, Andy, am I correct in thinking there are already cat's eyes on the side of the road on the Mountain Road? And as a Port Erin resident, says Texter 854, as a Port Erin resident, as soon as the weather improves, I'm going to be using the campsite for free. Nothing else to do in Port Erin with the kids. The parks are all in a poor condition as well. Tony in Onken said, Andy, the DOI could scrap the horse trams, the MER and the steam trains and use all the money from that to build a 10-foot seawall around the Isle of Man. Do away with cash as well, then the civil servants can control us all from there. Your tongue was in your cheek, wasn't it? Can I make a suggestion, says 057, to improve the post office? Increase the services offered, for example, in addition to paying bills, offer savings accounts and other minor banking services. Just an idea. That's it. Back with another open line for Friday. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
W-I-N-T.